Sabrina. What's going on?
It's the spell. It's totally out of control. Make it stop.
We can't do that. You opened a can of worms, and until they wriggle their way to a dramatic climax, you're stuck.
But I'm in so much trouble. The police think I stole the ring Mr. Poole bought for the nurse. But Libby's setting me up to get me out of the way because she wants to steal my boyfriend who has amnesia.
Oh, this is even better than Burden of Desire. Except that it's happening to you.
Ain't we all the stars? Ain't we all the stars? Playing the leading part in a daytime drama. Young and restless hearts looking and throwing darts. Yeah, we're all big stars in our soap opera.
Ladies, gentlemen, Tedgar Allan Poe. Welcome to episode number 21 of Sabrina's Witch Trials. This is the show where each episode we venture back into the mid-1990s to rewatch, review, and reminisce all about everyone's favorite Friday night spellfest, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I'm Alex Adeuju, and this episode is going to be fun for some people, I assume. Not really for me, because we're going to be talking about possibly the most overdramatic episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and that's saying something. Episode number 21, As Westbridge Turns. And dear listener, when I told this person that I was going to be covering this episode on the Witch Trials this week, she not only insisted, but demanded to be the co-host, and I, of course, as I am contractually obligated to have her on every other episode, decided it was only feasible and sensible. So welcome back, please. That media maven from ChrisConquers.com, the one and only Chris Adeuju is here. Chris, welcome back. Good to have you along on the Witch Trials. I understand you hate this episode?
Oh, yeah.
Don't like it at all?
Let's be honest. I, like, demanded weeks ahead of time. I was like, wait. When does that episode come up? Oh, yep, that's mine.
Wait, Stone Burton.
I think it was the last episode or the episode before the last episode I was on.
I believe so.
I looked at the episode list and I saw the episode and I was like, oh, mine.
A lot of people actually really love this episode. I think it has an 8.4 rating on IMDb. I think I just saw that. 8.8, excuse me. It's very popular. Didn't do well on the night. But,
you know, it's hit or miss, depending.
I don't think it's a particularly good or entertaining episode.
No one really cares for your opinion.
That has proven.
You learn nothing.
Listen, the listenership of this podcast proves that more and more often. But we'll get into it. How's your week going, though, Chris? You have a good week?
Like this week that we're in right now? Because it just started, really.
Well, the last 7 days. You're in the city today? That's New York City for all you bumpkins.
I'm always in New York City.
We live in Queens. It's like
five boroughs, bitch.
It's not even New York. We all know it's not New York City.
It is. Okay. Bumpkins who think the Manhattan is just New York City.
We call Manhattan the city.
You say you're going to the city. Yes, that's a New York thing to say, "Oh, I'm going to the city," when you're going to Manhattan. But New York City,
yes, five boroughs. Very good.
Thank you.
Rockefeller and all
five.
That.
Five.
You were in Manhattan.
Except Staten Island, like just.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. You were in Manhattan today because you had some last minute passporting to do.
Yeah, I had to go to the passport agency to basically get an expedited passport to get mine renewed because mine is going to expire in July. And I have a trip coming up in a couple of weeks that wasn't really pre-planned with a lot of notice. So I didn't really have a lot of time and I didn't want to risk it not coming in time. So I was waiting for 2.5 hours, even though I had an appointment. Appointments mean nothing, apparently, just so you know. And so I waited 2.5 hours. And the thing is, there's like this crazy number convention where it's like when you first go in, there's a line for people with appointments and there's a line for people that are like walk-ins, like people who had like deaths in the family or just, you know, couldn't make an appointment in time. So they just show up and you basically go to a counter, you give them your paperwork and they give you a number and you go upstairs to the 10th floor and you wait for your number to be called, except there is a letter and a number. I don't know what the letters signify. Like, they are obviously different for a reason. I had a C. It's like, I had C362.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, they were on... You can probably cut all of this out. This is very interesting.
It's incredibly fascinating. I've listened to most of it.
They were on, like, C309.
Okay.
And they weren't calling C's. They were calling, like, H's. Like, every number they called was, like, an H. And I just didn't understand what the hell the difference was between the letters.
About four different letters?
I think... Maybe H is like if you're traveling within like the next 2 days,
okay,
and had a serious emergency,
mm-hmm.
they gave you priority.
Fascinating.
Excuse me.
But you are getting your passport tomorrow.
I'm picking it up tomorrow,
so you can go drinking,
which is awesome,
real soon. And that's
tomorrow, cool. If possible.
Did you mention where you're going?
I'm going to Portugal.
That's right. The lovely. Little peninsula, not peninsula. I don't know.
It's the Iberian Peninsula.
There you go. That little bit of Spain that everybody thinks is still Spain.
That's mean. It's not that little.
It's pretty. I mean, compared to Spain.
Compared to Spain, it's like
and
half
most
size,
other countries.
It's a big chunk of Spain.
Anyway, very good. I've done nothing in the last week. I watched Quiz Show. It's a good movie. Ralph Fiennes is in it. He's a fine actor. You can call that a joke if you want. I really don't think it's that funny.
Is his name Rafe? His name isn't Rafe.
It's Ralph, but he pronounces it Rafe.
Really?
I believe so.
Why didn't you never know that?
I don't know. Dumb. He used to pronounce it Ralph, but then he started pronouncing it Rafe.
He's like, okay, fine, I'll pronounce it the way everyone else does. And then he was like, fuck everyone else.
Exactly.
I'm going to do me.
Enough about mid-90s dramas, though.
And passports.
The biggest mid-90s drama of them all. Let's get to episode number 21 of Sabrina Teenage Witch. As Westbridge Turns, originally aired April 25th, 1997, to 12 million viewers. Quite the drop, even from the 14 million viewers, that they had the episode prior. 9 rating, a 14 share, and the 49th most viewed piece of television that given week. Again, a big drop from where it usually is in the low 20s, high 30s. Chris, before we get into the episode, you have to describe this episode to me in a set number of words because you're a guest on Sabrina's
forget.
Witch Trials.
Always. That's,
you've been on like half of them by now. You
know,
should know.
I don't know
if
how.
Not more than half.
It's possible.
Anyway, this is the dramatic episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, some might say. So let's go with the most dramatic number, 7.
Why is that the most dramatic number?
It's obvious, Chris. Everyone knows it.
Okay. Sabrina the Teenage Witch becomes a soap.
All right. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That works just fine.
Okay.
Nicely done, Chris. And honestly, I'm pretty sure that was the pitch in the meeting before writing this episode. I was like, have you guys seen all those crappy shows on in the middle of the day? We're going to do one of those.
It's not that.
I would say, don't get into defending Port Charles
or
something.
No. I mean, I love Port Charles. But I feel like the 90s was like a heyday for soap operas. I mean, I'm sure, you know, they were very successful before that. But I feel like in the 90s, like, there was no age limit. Like, everyone just loved soaps. Soaps.
Yes. And you should love soap today. Buy a few bricks and wash your ass, folks. Anyway, we open. It's just sound
weirdo.
Advice.
Okay.
Just sound sage-like wisdom from your buddy Al. We open in the kitchen. Why is it? Calm down.
Why are you telling people to wash their asses?
Because it's good advice.
Yeah.
Somebody who might hear it and laugh at it initially, but then will be like, it's been a while. And then they'll go out and buy a bar of soap and wash their ass. Anyway, we open in the kitchen where a bored Sabrina is not washing her ass, but is trying to convince Salem to update his look, despite his beliefs in the lasting style of basic black. After refusing to go blonde because of the horror of the roots, Salem agrees to a henna rinse to bring out his natural red highlights. leading Sabrina to place him in some sort of a spaceman hairdryer. After confirming that she triple-checked the magic book, she zaps the machine, causing it to blink for a while before pinging with doneness, much like your ass will after you wash it. Salem soon notes he's tingling, before emerging only to reveal he's now hairless. As he bemoans being naked, Sabrina goes to get her aunts before Salem tells her to bring a sweater as he's freezing, and he whimpers his way to the opening credits.
I'm naked!
Don't panic. I can fix this.
How?
I'll go get my aunts.
And a sweater? I'm freezing my tail off.
Chris.
Al.
Let's start the ridiculous notion that a teenager who also has magical powers could at any point be bored.
I feel like it's the whole abundance of riches thing where I don't even know if that's a thing now. I'm like, maybe it's not a thing. When you have so much stuff, you're kind of like just, you don't know where to start, so you're bored.
I think I kind of know what you mean. Like, it's like how parents will say to their kids, like, oh, you've got all the Game Boys and everything. You can't be bored. But it's like, she literally has magical powers. She can do anything she wants. She can make a literal guy and go out with said guy.
But she's limited by her teenage imagination. And in that, it's like...
So zap in, you know, some fucking, like, beers.
Well, and if you notice in the scene, she's got a huge pile of, like, fashion magazines in front of her.
I didn't notice that.
She's got a huge stack of fashion and hair magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's talking to Salem. So, I mean, she's just basically channeling what she's seeing into what she wants to do. And for teenage girls, that's playing with your hair and playing with makeup. I mean, I'm not gender generalizing. It's just...
Generalizing.
It's just a thing.
Swish. You know?
Something I went through. It's just... It's fun.
Okay. Now, it's also convenient that Salem agreed to the henna rinse, because otherwise that spaceman toaster is just going to sit there useless.
Well, first of all, okay. Yes.
Point well made.
Before we get to that, Sabrina is yet again, like, fucking with other people and being manipulative. Like, oh, I don't want to fuck with my own hair, so let's just, you know, mess around with yours.
I just think she's so confident in her own look that it's like, let me help you.
No.
You black cat.
I think
you
it's,
basic black cat.
I think it's, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and I don't want to ruin my own hair, so...
Why don't her head just, wouldn't even fit in that
you're
thing.
You're just a cat. Like, what is... Well, yeah, but this is... This is what goes through my mind before you even see that stupid contraption.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go over to the contraption and you're like, when did Barbie get a spaceship?
Ooh, it's weird.
I was like, Elton John's spaceship. Like, if Elton John made a line of, like, space hair dryers, that's what it would look like.
Why would there be a whole line of them? Who needs variety in space hair dryers?
No,
one will do.
I mean, I guess if you need a more economic model,
it looks like what, like, Marvin the Martian would literally crash into your kitchen in, because he's a tiny little guy and he would fit in this.
Yeah.
It's dumb. I do appreciate the fact that we get some more Sabrina Salem exchanges, and I think you're starting to, like, see the saucy and outlandish aspect of Salem come through, as where most of the season he's just been like the sarcastic asshole.
I really enjoy, apart from, like, the stupidity of a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I enjoy, like, the girlfriendedness that they share.
What else did you have here, Chris?
just her being like, I'm so bored, let me fuck with your hair.
Yeah.
No. Salem's right. Basic black. You can't go wrong with it.
Also, a fun note, a henna rinse is how Lucille Ball used to dye her hair red.
Is it?
It is.
It's still something you can do.
Well, there you go.
Buy henna from Lush, actually.
You can buy
it from beauty supply shops, too.
It's centuries old. Anyway, at Westbridge, Sabrina runs into a hideously dressed Jenny in the halls, and when she asks what's new, she discovers that nothing's ever new. Sabrina tells Jenny to cheer up, as something exciting might happen in biology, like an explosion. But when they get there, all that's new is one of Mr. Poole's shitty endocrine jokes.
Today, we're going to be looking at the endocrine system, which includes the thyroid, the pancreas, and the islets of Langerhans, where I spend my summer vacation. Hello, is this thing on? Hello.
Later at lunch, Jenny bemoans the fish sticks, even though Sabrina has created quite an erection indeed. Fishhenge. The girls then spot Harvey, hoping that he has some exciting news, and he does. He got his car realigned, and now he's less likely to crash it.
He doesn't lean to the left, or the right, or whatever it was.
The rest of Harvey still does lean to the left. As if things couldn't get any worse for the dull teens, Libby and Jill soon come over with some braggy news. They were asked to join the teen board of the Drake's department store, and they'll be modeling formal wear in the courtyard tomorrow night. They then try to enlist Harvey as an escort, but he just gives them an excellent line about his fashion sensibility.
Don't look at me. The only statement I want my clothes to make is please don't stare.
But you get to wear a tux and super shiny shoes.
I'd have to lose my mind before I do something like that.
Well, let me know if you do.
After the offer of a tux and shiny shoes doesn't convince Harvey, the girls walk off, leaving Sabrina to destroy Fishhenge in anger, much like aliens probably did to the real one. That's what I'm going with.
Still standing.
Okay, fine, they built it. I thought some of it was knocked down.
I mean, like, two pieces.
Okay.
It's not anything like...
They weren't really mad. They were just a little ticked off, so they just knocked a bit of it over.
Figured that was just time, you know?
No. It was aliens.
Totally bumped the mic with my nose.
It was Marvin the Martian crash landing into Sabrina's kitchen. Arriving home later, Sabrina recounts her boring day to a curly-haired Zelda, noting that she actually is looking forward to her flu shot tomorrow. Zelda tells her that it's her own fault she's bored, and she has to make her own fun, adding in a little inertia joke that I enjoyed quite a bit. Sabrina then expertly mocks Zelda before Salem suggests a surefire way to pass the time, wind spotting, eventually providing some impressive commentary for a particularly feisty piece of lint.
Oh, there's a good one. Follow it. Up, up, down. Down, down to the right. Left. Oh, it's a feisty one.
I'm going to find Aunt Hilda.
Oh, up again. Twirling, twirling. Hey, there's two in play.
Sabrina, even bored by this incredible action, decides to go check on Hilda, finding her watching her favorite soap opera, The Burden of Desire. Tell me about it. Hilda... Hilda catches Sabrina up on all the seedy details, and Sabs wishes her life was more exciting like the show. Hilda says that it can be with a spell, zapping in a can of worms. She goes on to explain that opening the can will heighten all emotions, but that she will have to take the good with the bad. She'll have to take them both, and there she'll have the facts of life. Leading Sabrina to pop the lid on this episode. Chris.
Ow.
Heading back to Westbridge.
Yeah.
Let's start with Jenny.
I love Jenny in this episode.
Let's start with
Jenny. She's a rare thing for me.
Okay, let's start with her and her ridiculous green Argyle cardigan.
Okay, I didn't even notice.
Come on.
I'm sorry. Do you know what I'm picking up on?
I literally wrote, episode? Come on.
The realness. There's like a level of realness in this episode is just so relatable. You ask Jenny what's up, it's the most, or what's new,
what's
and
new?
It's literally the most Al answer. Nothing. Nothing is ever new.
It is. If she could throw in a, just leave me alone, I want to die, that's pretty spot on.
She's secretly all of us. I'm sorry. And then, we measure out our lives in fish sticks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty profound.
Oh, yes. Jenny is the poet laureate of Westbridge, after all.
I'm sorry, but I was picking up what she was putting down, okay?
See, I much more enjoyed Harvey's joke about the only thing he wants his clothes to say is please don't stare.
Oh no, I love that one too. That's more of the realness that this episode is putting down.
It's very good. And maybe the best of all the burns in this little chunk, Sabrina telling Zelda that if she had a life, she'd give her half.
You have to make your own excitement. For example, I'm working on a theory of inertia, and I just can't stop.
You're worse off than me. If I had a life, I'd give you half.
Did you miss that one? That's the best one.
I missed that one.
That's the best one out of all of them.
Oh, God.
Okay, can we talk about Zelda's hair for a second?
Yes.
You seem to like it.
I think it's cute, but it does give her, like, scientist Shirley Temple vibes.
I don't like it. It looks like manufactured curly, which I never think
it
is. I know, but
you put curlers in.
I don't think it's a good look. They look too tight. The curls look too tight. And I like Zelda with like more of like a modern cut.
Her hair is too short to do loose curls.
Well, it's too good to do these curls.
Right. Also,
By the way, my last note here is, because I clearly didn't finish it, I just wrote, I do love all of Salem's, and that's it. So I'm just going to stick with it. I love all of Salem's.
All of them. Every iteration.
You were saying?
Even the hairless one.
I hate hairless
Sabrina's
guys.
Polka dot dress.
Yeah.
That's what was catching my eye, not Jenny's outfit.
I don't know.
Sabrina's randomly placed, randomly like piped, like some were piped, some weren't piped. All different sizes, polka dot dress. And then, of course, because it's Sabrina, you have to have the matching shirt underneath. Oh, yeah.
I think she wears something much worse later on. I really didn't like
her. I don't know.
We'll talk.
Let's talk about Libby.
All right.
Okay. Why the fuck?
A purple jacket?
Oh, well, yeah. But, but before that, why the fuck is there a teen board? For a department store.
It seems like something white people would come up with to try and like convince teens to like shop at their super expensive store that only rich teens would go to anyway.
It seems like something rich teens would, or teens would dream about, but that would never actually exist.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe. Like,
it's something that they would put on shows because all the people watching it would be like, oh my god, I would fucking die.
I do want to know what her and Jill's duties are on the teen board. It's like, I draft economic policy and
shade throwing,
and Jill is in charge of national security,
and
for the department store,
and a formal wear fashion show. I feel like that was such a thing in
like Clueless
in 90s shows, where like 90s early 2000s like. Fashion shows, like I feel like every teen show had a fashion show. Like, didn't Buffy have a fashion show?
Something, probably.
I feel like 90210 had a fashion.
Oh,
I feel
definitely.
Like, I feel like it was the thing. I think they still do it. I think it's just a teen show thing.
I'm almost positive City Guys had a fashion show.
It's something that, like, when you're a teenager, you think is like the coolest shit. You're like, oh my god,
my high school
fashion right now.
My high school actually had like a fashion show.
We did too. Yearly,
and it's like, who the fuck?
We had a fashion club though.
Who the fuck wants to be in those things? It's like, come on.
Lots of people.
I don't get it.
I went to an art school, so lots of people did.
That's true. Your school is full of freaks.
Tramps.
Take that.
Super freak. Freak.
We'll get there. All right.
Like, I think part of that, I guess, is because in the 90s, like working in fashion was like such a coveted thing, like on TV shows, like all the coolest people, like the
Veronica's the 90s, Closet, everyone's favorite
90s 2000s
sitcom.
Just Shoot Me, yeah. Worked at a fashion magazine, the what's her name from Friends was
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, she wanted to work in fashion. She was like a
that's true
personal shopper.
I'm sure there are more.
Oh, she was a buyer too. Yeah, there I'm pretty sure there are a lot more. But that was like a thing. Like, it was just like, oh my god, it's so attainable. Like, look at this rando doing it.
That and marine biologist. That was a big thing in the 90s.
And then
go ahead.
Harvey. That's,
what about Harvey?
I love his the only statement I want my clothes to make is, please don't stare.
Very true.
I feel like that's something every high school student
pretty
or
much.
A lot of high school students yeah. understand. Hell, a lot of adults. A lot of grown-ass people.
Not me in my flamingo pants. They have flamingos on them. They're not like flamenco pants. Anyway.
Would you be up for the offer of wearing a tux and super shiny
yeah.
shoes? I wrote Al's in.
I would wear a tux.
you get to wear a tux
provided,
and super shiny shoes.
Provided it's fitted correctly. I'd fucking strut in a tux. I don't care. Well, good in it, too. All right. Let's get to Westbridge
Wait.
Now. What? How
no.
much more could you fucking
There's
have?
So much.
Jesus. Nothing happened
I'm
in this
sorry.
Scene.
I love so. No, but after, right? When.
She just popped the lid.
At the house. No, I mean.
Oh
before,
my God.
Before she pops.
What happened to that? Oh, the lid. Lint spotting?
No. Oh, fucking lint spotting. We're not talking about fucking lint spotting. When she gets introduced to the world of soaps.
Yes. What happened? Tell us about the soap opera, Chris.
Every kiss from Blake is a lie. That was a great line.
All right.
You didn't think that was a great line?
I thought it was fine.
And she, I think it's hilarious that she's watching these shows like, why can't my life be more exciting like this when it's just cheating, backstabbing, and drama? Like, if you want to be on The Bachelorette, you're going to have to wait a couple years.
Yes.
Because it's coming.
Very good, Chris. Anything else?
I had the facts of life thing as well.
All right.
And now we can move on.
Wonderful.
I'm sorry. This is going to be how it's going to be the whole time. I loved everything.
The next day at school, Sabrina asks Jenny what's new, only to hear nothing, before Jenny tells her today will be a day like any other day. Just then, a nurse and EMT go running by, yelling code blue, and Jill soon informs them that Pops the janitor collapsed, leading Sabrina to smile with excitement over the notion that an old man is dying. Harvey then walks up, celebrating finding Sabrina at last, and asks to speak with her in private. He tells her something is right, very right, and makes her promise to meet him by the reflecting pool at 12:36. She questions the specificity, but he just says that it's important, so she agrees, adding that she's so happy. As they walk off, we see Libby overhearing, adding herself that she won't be happy for long.
12:36, that's really specific.
It's important.
Okay. The bell.
We must go.
I'm so happy. But not for long.
In biology, Mr. Poole announces that the day has finally come to discuss reproduction, leading to the class exploding in hormonal ecstasy. We then get a montage of Mr. Poole explaining biology in the most stark terms, with the class making shocked and altogether saucy faces. Yes. After the bell rings, Harvey says, quote, till 12:36, my darling, leading Sabrina to give him a see ya. We then go.
That's like Al in Romance.
What?
Cool. Okay. I feel like that would be the awkward Al answer.
All right. It's fucking Barry Al while he's reading a paragraph. Whatever. Fucking bitch. We then go to the school infirmary where we see Mr. Poole holding Nancy the nurse, because alliteration's fun, and talking about how they shouldn't during school hours. Just then, as they go in for a kiss, Sabrina loudly cock-blocks them, announcing she's here for her shot. And the two cover up like total professionals. No way anyone would know that they're together at all.
Oh, Nancy.
Oh, Jane.
Oh, we shouldn't. We mustn't. Not during school hours.
I just can't control myself around you, Jane. I'm here for my flu shot. Mr. Poole, your blood pressure is normal.
Thank you for squeezing me in.
Sabrina asks Nancy if she and Mr. Poole are dating, leading Nancy to immediately threaten the teenage child, noting that if the school board ever knew, they'd both be fired. After Sabrina says that she understands, she gets a prick and turns down the offer of a cold compress as she has to go and meet Harvey. By the way, that's cold compress mention number one. Try and keep track. You won't be able to. At the stunning and never before seen or ever seen again reflecting pool, Harvey greets Sabrina before hilariously freaking out about her Band-Aid in maybe the best line of this or any episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Harvey?
I thought you weren't going to make it. A Band-Aid. Who did this to you?
The nurse. I had a flu shot.
Oh, okay.
Calming down eventually, Harvey says that he thinks they should go steady, and Sabrina likes that idea. He then gives her a gift, a bracelet engraved with a message. Harvey digs Sabrina. It is 1997. With the number 12:36 on the back, that being the exact time that they first spoke in the cafeteria. Chris.
Ow.
Let's go back to Westbridge, where we are. Welcome to Westbridge.
Have we ever seen Pops before?
No, I don't think we ever see him besides laying in that bed.
Yeah.
Let's start with a fantastic joke from Mr. Poole about just that whole scene with him, like, in the most dry terms explaining reproduction and, like, everyone making the watching porn face.
That was hilarious.
It's
so
great.
Well done.
My favorite one is, like, this nondescript, like, boy who's just, like, scratching his, like, jaw in delight. Like, yeah. Mmm. Insemination.
I feel like, I don't know that that's a real thing that people got excited about, but
no.
I feel like in teen movies, like, basically just Grease 2.
Which is the long and short of all the teen movies Chris has ever seen.
People get super excited when they're going to learn about reproduction.
I don't know. Like, I remember. Well, here's the first thing. These are high school sophomores. At least half the class has already had sex. I mean,
you can't hear that head tilt that I just did.
It's true.
There was one.
She'd give it like, meh.
But you know what? I think that happens in school all the time.
What
where
do you mean?
I think most teenagers or a lot of teenagers have had sex when they have sex.
Oh,
ed
no,
anyway.
That definitely happens. Because like, my sex ed in high school was, I think, like, if not, it might have been junior year. That's just like when it got scheduled.
I think mine was senior year.
Mine was either junior or senior, but it's like, by that fucking point, like, 10% of the class is already pregnant.
Well, mine was senior year, but...
And that's just the guys.
In junior high school,
yes.
We had health. So we learned about it then. And then in gym, I think, freshman, sophomore year, we had... like a special day where they made us watch, like, probably the Miracle of Life or whatever it is.
I remember in freshman year I had biology, and while it's not like, I'm pretty sure I had a very similar like lesson to this.
Yeah.
All I remember, because I don't remember much about freshman biology, but I do remember that they made us watch like the video of like a lady giving birth.
It's a Miracle of Life.
Okay, is that the one from like definitely filmed in like,
yeah,
1973?
Yeah.
Just by the amount of bush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah, you know you're gonna be on camera. I mean, come on.
Well, Bush was in, so that was, you know, aiming for the camera.
Bush was about as much popular. Whatever.
Bush is making a comeback.
I was gonna make a President
so.
Bush joke, but I fucked it up, and it wasn't gonna be that funny anyway. Chris,
compared to a lot of things. Bush looks good.
Well done. Yeah. So, Chris,
that was a Trump joke.
You're kidding. Chris and the biting political satire.
I thought I was talking about the Lady Bush.
Barbara?
Yes. Love her. Love me that Barb.
She's coming back into style.
What was he talking about? Oh, I get what you're saying, though. Like, they shouldn't be this excited because they already know the ins and outs of it anyway, but I feel like it's more something sexy to break up the mundane
and
day.
Yeah, it's like the sexy nature of soap operas, I guess, in terms of satire.
I don't think that's what that was. That was just like, oh, something exciting.
It's a good joke.
Yeah.
Also, I'm willing to ignore the fact that this high school has an infirmary, but I can't overlook...
All high schools have one.
They have a nurse's office. I don't know if they have like a full infirmary
that.
Yeah,
that was a little crazy.
I can't overlook two things. One, that Sabrina gets her flu shot from the school, which I think even as a kid confused the hell out of me.
I think it happens in some places,
it
though.
Might, but yeah. I'm not here.
Yeah.
And more importantly, too, after Pops the janitor collapsed, they decided not to take him to a hospital, but to put him in the back of the nurse's room.
Hey, why was there an EMT? What was he doing?
Taking him to...
Is that the... No, that's like the high school EMT?
Yeah, that's right. That's Craig,
all,
the high school EMT.
For all the high school medical emergencies that require a gurney.
God.
I feel like right away we get the start of like some really amazing tropes like that you find in soap operas.
Like Nate Richard being over dramatic in his love of Sabrina?
Yeah, that aspect of like, you know, destined to be lovers and, you know, an evil vixen trying to get in between them and like manipulate the situation.
Reflecting pools and all they bring.
Just, I mean, because he's right away like very affectionate and, you know, way more than he normally is. Mm-hmm.
He's very standoffish usually.
Like, and even the way he speaks is a little over the top. But just the beauty of Libby hiding around a corner.
Not even around, like, she's directly in the shot when they're talking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they don't see her. And that's the magic of it. That's the soap opera magic.
Yes, it is.
You know it's true. You've watched enough soap operas in your day.
Not many. I've been in the room while soap operas were on.
Okay, but you've seen lots of Mexican soap operas.
Yes.
You know...
I'm waiting for Sabrina's wheelchair to go into that reflecting pool. It's coming. Get ready, folks. No, Nate Richard does fucking kill, like, that dialogue, though. He's fantastic.
They're all so good.
I mean, Band-Aid, who did this to you? It's pretty great.
It was beautiful. I don't know how I forgot to say this. We didn't reference Grease 2, but the only thing I could hear... the whole time they were doing the reproduction lesson was the song Reproduction. And I feel like it needs to make an appearance in this. Okay? Sorry.
Just snap your fingers.
Reproduction. Put your pollen tube to work.
Reproduction.
Reproduction. Make my stamen go berserk.
Reproduction.
I got your pistol right here.
Where does the balling go?
Back here. What'd you get in your seat? Get up.
All right.
There you go.
So good.
Terrible. Okay, let's move right along here from that song, from that awful, awful movie. Anyway, in Mr. Poole's classroom.
Oh, crap. No.
What?
No. We got to talk about the bracelet.
Okay.
Just quick.
Hey, Chris. Do you have anything to say about the bracelet?
That was the most artificial you could possibly
You're
say.
Kidding.
Okay. Yes.
Go dude, on.
I think it was awesome. And I think it's something any teen girl would love to receive. I kind of want one.
It's you want one that says Harvey Dick Sabrina 1236?
No, obviously not.
I'm sure there's an Etsy store that sells them.
It says blank.
Digs me.
Digs Chris.
Time
and then
period.
No random time. That's kind of, it's cute for them, but you know, you can't just manufacture that.
I think it's very sweet. And while we don't know how his spell works exactly, I kind of like to think that Harvey took note of that originally. And that's just him being a very sweet but quiet guy. And
well,
that's
yeah.
what he does.
I mean, what Hilda says is that it basically just intensifies emotions.
That is
so
true.
They really were already there.
That's true. Let's see what's going on, what intense things are happening in Mr. Poole's classroom.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In Mr. Poole's classroom, Libby is going through his desk, soon explaining to a frantic Jill that she's looking for something to plant on Sabrina to take her down. That bitch is going down a peg.
Drugs.
A big bag of meth that Mr. Poole keeps in there.
I mean, science teachers. Am I right?
Throw on meth. After they
all make it on the side. Come on.
One drama about a science teacher that makes meth.
This is where they got it from, okay?
Sure.
Mr. Poole.
After thanking Jill for calling her pure evil, I wrote cure evil here, Libby finds a diamond ring, adding a great burn when Jill asks what Mr. Poole is doing with it.
What's Mr. Poole doing with a diamond ring?
Dreaming.
Dreaming?
I don't think she put a question mark on it, but yeah. Grabbing the ring, the girls run out.
I really couldn't remember. I think that's what she said.
They run out of one of the doors just in time as Mr. Poole enters the other one, whistling the wedding march, eventually pocketing the now empty ring box. He is soon worried by a buzzing sound, however, and reveals it's a wasp before running out with his jacket over his head. In the halls, Eugene asks a gruff figure if he's seen the new janitor, only to discover that it's the new janitor himself, Stone Burton, complete with eye patch. Mr. Poole explains that there's a wasp and that he thinks there might be a nest, leading Stone to note that it could be deadly. And we then get a quick shot of an air vent buzzing with some pretty terrible CGI wasps.
Excuse me, have you seen the new janitor?
You're looking at him. People call me Stone. Stone Burton. I came to Westbridge looking for a second chance.
Then don't eat the meatloaf. Anyway, I saw a wasp in my office. It's got me worried. I think there might be a nest.
A wasp's nest? That could be deadly. Let's hope you're wrong.
At a candle-lit cafeteria table, Harvey gushes over Sabrina while she just enjoys her sloppy joe. Libby soon walks up and gives them one of Al's trademark conversation starters about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. While taking the chance to slip a diamond ring, the diamond ring, into a distracted Sabrina's backpack.
The D, as it were.
Slip her the D, as in diamond, or Delano, whatever you like. Harvey is shocked that Libby was so friendly, which leads Sabrina to note that she was a little too friendly, before they're distracted by Jenoa Green's incredible overacting with CGI wasps. As she's apparently deathly allergic, Libby. Go figure. She's soon stung and collapses into the conveniently placed arms of Harvey, who rushes to get her to the nurse, but not before telling Sabrina to wait for him and twirling Libby around a few times, coming real close to smacking her head into a wall. Jenoa Green is very trustworthy, or trusting in Nate Richard, because Jesus Christ. Anyway, in the nurse's office, Harvey arrives explaining what happened, and Nancy clears off a cabinet for Libby before sticking her with an epinephrine shot. A relieved Libby soon hears about how Harvey saved her, and as she's placed into the bed next to Pops, tells Harvey to stay with her because she doesn't want Harvey to go back to Sabrina. Harvey says no in the most incredibly dramatic way, just stunned at the notion that he would stay with Libby.
It was perfect.
He goes on to explain how he has to follow his heart and return to Sabrina, leading to some shockingly even more overdramatic dialogue.
As long as you're okay, I'll be getting back to lunch.
Don't go. Stay with me, Harvey.
No. I have to follow my heart and return to Sabrina.
I don't know what you see in her.
I don't know what you don't.
Chris.
Yes. So many things to say.
Let's start with Libby rifling through her desk and finding some stool softener.
This is fucking weird.
Oh, God.
I forgot about that.
Just weird. Do you believe that, you know, notorious cheapskate Eugene Poole would really keep this diamond ring just sitting in this unlocked drawer in this unlocked room? Because I don't. Because I guess maybe the spell makes that happen for drama's sake.
Yeah.
But, like, come on.
I mean, he's careless sometimes, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's cheap, but he's careless. Cheap and careless. My new line coming out.
Chris's new line of Elton John hair dryers.
Yeah, that's what they're called. I don't know. That's all I can say.
Okay. I also like to kind of think that Libby went to the trouble of going to the library and looking up that fact about FDR, because while she didn't want to distract Libby and Harvey, she didn't want them to also think that she's very smart. She's like, let me look up for some politics. And hey, Sabs, get a load of this.
She just picked something random.
That's like one of the least interesting things to like say about FDR also. It's like,
oh my God, shut up.
I really like him. I have his face on a vase upstairs.
True, but
how many people can say that? Probably none, because there were a lot of them when I bought them. Anyway, what do you think about this these scenes here, Chris?
Let's talk about Stone Burton.
All right.
The piratical.
What?
Piratical. Because he's got an eye patch.
Okay.
Janitor.
Did you Google that? Or
no.
Did you?
Okay. I know the word piratical.
All right, you're very smart. Man.
It's like a pirate.
Stone Burton is played by John Lopierno. Lopierno? Well, sorry. Loprino. Loprieno.
Loprieno.
Loprino? Loprino?
Loprieno?
Sure. John Italia name. He's been in a lot of soap operas for years and years.
Who's a low-key pirate. All maybe right. Maybe that was his last occupation, and that's why he didn't move.
You want a fun little side fact about him?
Sure.
If you click on his IMDb...
Is it as good as the FDR?
It is. He also had three vice presidents. No, if you click on his IMDb page, an image of him as Stone Burton is his main image.
That's not a good sign.
No, it's not. Also, I think
what
he
was, I'm best known for.
I think he was on an episode of Star Trek Voyager, not even Next Generation. Oh, man. What a career he's had. What'd you think of Stone Burton, Chris?
I just fucking love him. Like, I love how over the top and, like, cliche soap he is. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of eye-patched characters in soaps.
I believe it.
Like, maybe not a lot, but I know that there's one who's, like, a huge, like, a huge character who, like, has been on for decades. Like, and that's a huge part of his role. And it is kind of like a cliche thing, like in Friends, when Joey gets hit in the eye and then he has the eye patch, and he was on, when he was on the soap.
Yeah.
So it's like a soap thing.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I know another character who had an eye patch.
Okay.
There's a lot.
I believe you.
And then also, like, the, you know, the misunderstood, brooding.
Yes, yeah. Like, mysterious.
Yeah. It's just the cliche. Yep. But I love that he sticks to that cliche, and yet they do make a joke out of him. Like, he's really fucking stupid.
Yes.
On several occasions.
We'll get to it in the next couple of scenes.
So, I kind of appreciated that duality. Like, they do a really good job of mimicking tropes from the genre, but they do a great job of parodying it in that they kind of poke fun and, you know, have fun with it, and fucking love it so much.
Good. Were you as amazed and stunned with the fact that Harvey knew the word anaphylactic shock, or the phrase anaphylactic shock, as I was, because he's a fucking dum-dum? I mean,
I didn't really think about it.
I did.
I did have another thought, though.
Any word that Harvey says that has more than two syllables, I'm stunned by.
I did have another thought, right? So, I mean, it kind of, I think it originated earlier in the episode, but it goes throughout the episode. So, I feel like I've brought this up before. I don't understand why Livy is so set on Harvey. Do you know what I mean?
I think you did. I think you've brought it up before. I think in this episode, I mean, it's pretty much painted as she's not so much trying to get Harvey as she's trying to get Harvey away from Sabrina to fuck with Sabrina.
That's after the can of worms is released. But before that, she's trying to get Harvey to be her escort. And
have you seen his hair? He's got really good hair.
I get it, but she's someone who puts so much importance on status, like popularity.
He's a sportsman.
He's not, okay, he's second string. He's not good.
No.
He's not, you know, bookish either, so he's not smart, which wouldn't endear him to her anyway. But really, he's got hair and earrings. That's pretty much
and that sweet, what he's got. Sweet ass.
But you're going to say something else. But yeah, I mean, I get it that you're, you know, he's good looking, but at the same time, I'm sure there are other good looking jocks at the school that would fit the bill better for her.
Pretty sure that the only, oh, actually, in a couple of episodes, there will be a jock that she pines for, but doesn't get. So get ready for that.
It's just the fact that she goes after him so hard is kind of just confusing to me. Like, I guess the heart wants it.
He's really hot. Learn that lesson. Also,
she doesn't like him, though.
She does.
She thinks he's stupid all the time.
He is stupid.
I understand.
You can like
that.
Someone and still think they're stupid. Many girls with me. I'm sure they like me. They think I'm dumb as fuck. They're right on both parts.
I think you just made that whole scenario up.
I don't think
many girls liking Al.
Yeah, that is a It is a dream.
You're not, and you know you're not stupid. So
I'm,
it's not.
I'm too smart for my own good, some might say. Some others might say
something like that.
Others might say, "Al, you've got the real hair. Fuck that Harvey guy."
Al, you know what would pique girls' interest? An eye patch.
That's right.
Or an owl patch, as it will be called.
It's really bad. I was going to make a Stone Britton joke, but fuck it, I'm just going to move on now. Okay. As she pouts about Harvey, Pops' heart rate monitor flatlines, so Libby inadvertently smacks him back to life with a pillow. Anyway, in the hall...
Just to stop the beeping.
Yes, not to help her at all, just because she's fucking angry about Harvey. In the hall, Stone and Harvey exchange incredibly awkward pleasantries before a rogue ladder gets away from Stone, crashing on to Harvey as he drinks from a water fountain, giving us some incredibly hilarious visuals of Nate Richard selling fear of a ladder falling on him.
Good day.
It is, isn't it?
Rogue ladder! Look out! Good Lord. Now I have to move again.
I feel like if you took the ladder out, you can put in like CGI birds and it would just be like tippy all over again.
I mean, there's some just like shots of him like mugging for the camera. You can just do anything, really. Stone is soon seen carrying Harvey to the infirmary where the nurse runs for a cold compress, getting some shit from Libby, but explaining that her hands are tied by the state. A quick jostling by Libby brings Harvey back, but she's soon shocked to find out that he's got amnesia, instantly going into plotty bitch mode, which is really just flipping Libby. A little switch on Libby. Libby tells him that no matter what anyone else says to him, she's his girlfriend. Sabrina soon runs in as she heard what happened, but Harvey doesn't recognize her. When she explains that she's his girlfriend, he explains that Libby is his girlfriend, and he's not Polly, so I don't know what you're talking about, Sabrina. I only have one.
How does he know then?
He knows. He may not know a lot of things, but he knows he's not Polly.
He knows what the heart wants.
After an outro and then intro bum bum bums, Sabrina puts the amnesia together, but Libby tells her that she should go as her boyfriend. Harvey, my boyfriend Harvey, had too much excitement for one day already, so bitch, get out. Outside, Sabrina asks what Libby's up to, and she goes on to explain that she's trying to ruin her life before excusing herself to go remind Harvey about the fashion show, as she's going to make him wear a tux and cummerbund, and there's nothing Sabrina can do to stop her. There's no cackling, but there should be cackling. Later at lunch, Jenny is shocked by Libby's actions and tells Sabrina not to worry as she'll make sure that Libby gets what's hers. In his classroom, there's a lot of cuts in these scenes, like describing this.
Lot.
Everyone is like 3 seconds long and a cut.
When we go back, I'm like, crap, I don't remember what we're going from.
In his classroom, Mr. Poole offers Nurse Nancy the diamond ring, starting to propose before comically finding out that it's missing. We then see him explaining to a detective that he gave up professional haircuts to buy that ring, which the detective can obviously see.
Don't you understand? I gave up professional haircuts to buy that ring.
I can see that, sir. But let's stick to the facts.
He then goes on to note that everyone has access to the room as his doors are unlocked, but he was out of the room at the nurse's office between 12:30 and 12:40. And the detective promises to crack the case, even if he has to search everyone. In the cafeteria, Sabrina sits alone drinking coffee and monologuing about the spell's effect until she's interrupted by the detective asking to search her bag. And we'll get into what happens when he does in a moment.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. Chris.
Yes.
Let's go back to...
Stone.
Yes, let's go back. Let's go to Harvey and Stone in the hallway.
I forgot to mention.
Yes.
That's another thing. The Stone Burton, the name,
yes,
is very romance slash Soap Navy. It's
a very muscular name.
They're always over-the-top names that no one would ever have in real life.
Okay. The Rogue Ladder scene. It's Rogue incredibly ladder. Stupid. Okay?
Rogue Ladder.
It's stupid for multiple reasons. First, that immensely awkward exchange between Stone and Harvey, where it's like, good day. Yes, it is a good day.
But fuck okay, that. Do you know what that's about?
It's supposed to be like he's so happy because he's going back to his love, and then it gets cut off.
It's such a huge thing in soaps where you've waited so long for the couple to finally find their way to each other, and they do, and they have like maybe 2-3 episodes of happiness, and then some manipulative bitch breaks them up, or you know, in this case, a Rogue Ladder, mm-hmm. and. Then it's literally like months of them struggling to try to get back to each other. And then it's that same cycle over and over again.
The ladder itself.
Yeah.
Stone is incapable of lifting and controlling this aluminum ladder that can't weigh more than 30 pounds.
He could lift it. He acts like it has a mind of its own. Like
it's only like 6 feet tall and he can lift it. Well, it's probably like 9 or 10. It's probably a 10-foot ladder. But he can lift it with one arm in real life. Like, it's not a heavy ladder.
Also, why wouldn't Harvey put up an arm to stop?
It's aluminum. Even if it did hit him in the head, it wouldn't be very hard.
No. I mean, and it wasn't like it fell from, like, it wasn't.
It was tipping over.
Yeah, it's not like it fell off a roof and hit him in the head.
The professional haircuts joke was very good.
It was okay.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I thought it was, like, typical pool comedy. I don't like
typical cool comedy.
But Rogue Ladder, I feel like, should be, like, a catchphrase when, like, you just fuck something up and, like, completely, and it's, like, the stupidest shit you've done, but, like, you're kind of just like, oh, you know, oh, that wasn't really my fault when it totally was. Rogue Ladder. Hashtag Rogue Ladder.
I'm sure that'll catch on, like, gangbusters.
It just doesn't have to be, like, universal thing. Okay. It's like us. Like,
you're kidding. That's not universal. Down.
Like when I start saying Rogue Ladder, when I like break your stuff.
What stuff do I even
I
have?
Know. Like what? You break your phone. And like oh,
you can't do it. I literally had to. I have a spare one still sitting upstairs. Okay. What do you have here, Chris?
That evil fucking smirk from Libby, though.
Yes, she's very pleased with her plan.
I really love the expression on Sabrina's face when the door shuts in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was so deadpan. So, like, she held it really well.
I liked Harvey's reaction when Sabrina, when he says, she's my girlfriend, and Sabrina's like, Libby? And he's like, yeah, Libby.
Like, oh, I just remembered that name. Yeah.
Right, yeah, I know her. My girlfriend.
Yeah, that one.
You don't know me? I'm Sabrina, your girlfriend.
I don't think so. This is my girlfriend.
Libby?
Yeah, Libby.
Sabrina's shiny red short sleeve shirt here, I really hated it. Like, it's like very...
Was it velvet? Why did I think it was crushed velvet?
I don't know. It didn't look like velvet to me, but it was like... It had like the shininess of velvet, but it looked like flat. It didn't look velvet, but it had like darker red weaves on it.
I didn't even pick up on that.
It looked really bad, and I did not like it.
I'm guessing that's Al's.
There might be others.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you like the very Folgers commercial-like music that's playing when Sabrina's just drinking coffee
yes.
and monologuing to herself?
I do. I feel like it's like something you'd see on like Dawson's Creek or something. Like not a soap thing. Maybe because I just don't remember scenes like that from soaps. But I thought it was very fitting. Like because it did seem. Of the genre and not like something Sabrina would ever do on a normal episode.
Mm-hmm. Have anything else?
Musing, some coffee.
Good coffee.
And then her.
I mean, even in.
Just drinking all the coffee in the cafeteria?
Even in most Sabrina episodes, actual classes in Westbridge make up like 30 seconds of the 20 minute episode.
But I feel like normally she's not in school so much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And she spent so much time in school and almost no time in class. It was all in the cafeteria. Or in the courtyard.
Mr. Poole says that there's no reason for the detective to check Sabrina, as she's one of his best students. But she happily agrees, asking what they're looking for before getting her answer when the detective pulls the ring out from her sack.
You mean when he pulls the D out?
He pulls out the D from the sack.
The sack.
Beautiful, Chris. Leading Mr. Poole to do a total 180 on Sabrina and immediately like get furious with her for stealing his ring. She denies taking the ring, but the detective says that he's calling her guardian and taking her downtown. I'm talking downtown. We then get a Sabrina perp walk, where upon seeing a smiling Libby, she puts together that it was her who framed her and begins aggressively pointing at Libby, saying, get her, get her. This hardcore pointing causes her Harvey bracelet to fly off and, unbeknownst to her, become lodged in an air vent above the hallway. At the police station, the detective asks where she was between 12:30 and 12:40. And she says that she was in the courtyard with Harvey. When he asks if she has any witnesses who can remember their own name, she says no, but that she has proof, showing him her now empty wrist. She realizes that the bracelet is gone and explains about how it was engraved with the time 12:36, which the detective agrees would be an excellent alibi if such a bracelet existed.
I love that line.
Oh no, my bracelet's gone. But it was engraved with the exact time Harvey gave it to me, 12:36.
Which would make for the perfect alibi, if such a bracelet existed.
Just then, the aunties arrive and ask to speak with Sabrina alone. They ask what the fuck is going on here, and she explains that it's the spell, and asks them to stop it. Zelda explains that since she opened the can of worms, they now have to wriggle their way to a dramatic climax. And we then go to the Drake's fashion show at Westbridge, where we see Libby complimenting how cute Harvey looks in his tux before asking for a compliment of her own, which she does get, though Harvey does have to do the old Al during finals week trick of reading it off his hand. He had Libby written on his hand.
Yeah.
It was a great little gag. I liked it. Also, it's what I do when I have to give speeches. I write like certain notes on my hands. We then see Jenny in a janitor's closet filling a super soaker with red paint, saying that she's going to make Libby's face red and glossy and hopping into a ventilation duct. In the halls. I said it like that because I made in capitalized for some reason. I don't know why. In the halls, the detective gives the Spellmans 15 minutes to find the bracelet, and they start the search by crawling on the floor, with Sabrina giving us the memorable line, a gum wrapper won't save me now. Chris, let's go all the way back, seems like half a lifetime ago, to the cafeteria.
Yes.
With the detective and Mr. Poole. Real funny scene. I think the most unbelievable aspect of this episode as a whole is the notion that Sabrina would...
Mr. Poole could get that nurse.
The notion that Mr. Poole would be banging that nurse. Now, the notion that Sabrina would not notice the bracelet flying off of her wrist at all. Like, you would feel that come off.
I've lost bracelets and not felt them fall off.
Yeah, but you're gesturing. You're saying, get her, get her. I'm doing the finger point. You would feel
yes,
it come off.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're saying, get her. Get her.
Yeah, I don't know. I've lost a bracelet before, like walking to work, and
I've lost a watch.
Don't know how. And did you feel it fall off?
No, but to be fair, I was saying get her real
I feel like it's possible. What's way more unbelievable is that it got lodged in the vent.
Where
the fuck was it gonna get lodged?
Pretty impressively.
Like, piece of the bracelet. First of all, it flew off, so unless it opened and you're saying that like a piece of it, part of the chain went over the vent and was dangling that way.
Harvey clearly didn't spend a lot on this bracelet.
Shut up. It's a nice bracelet.
I'm sure Chris clearly wants one.
I want it.
Let's talk about the formal wear outfits here for a sec.
But wait.
Go ahead.
I thought of all the ways to be brought down, she was felled by frantic arm gesticulation. Like,
you're just proud of that sentence.
Yeah.
I believe me, I see it. Anyway,
it's kind of
it's
ridiculous.
Very true. She's, like, yeah. I'm sure people have been taken down for less. tax evasion, seems like less. Anyway, let's talk about the formal wear here for a second. I thought Jill looks very nice in her blue like ball gown.
Yeah.
It's fine. I, however, did think Libby looked incredible in that like very black Sabrina. And white. It was, you know what? It is very Sabrina.
The movie Sabrina, not yeah. Yeah.
Black and white belt. I thought the gloves were a little much because of like the bows.
Just because of the bows. Because gloves were a big thing in the 90s.
No, I think like the bow was all the way up.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of works for the character because it kind of shows that she's like so fussy in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it kind of works because it's black and white. Mm-hmm. If it were anything else, I don't think it would. Let's talk about Beverly Johnson saying, please remember your Drake girls now.
Yes. She looked great too.
I made a stupid joke.
Is it something about Drake's cakes?
No.
Because I have that one.
I wrote, please remember your Drake girls now. You must always call him on his cell phone.
Good job. Good job. I was going to make a passion fruit joke, but I opted not to do it. Hate that song too.
So another thing. So they started looking, right? For the bracelet in the hallway. My biggest thing was, I get that the detective's right there. You have fucking magic. You, not only can you probably conjure up a fucking bracelet to serve as your alibi, but...
You can turn the detective into a pineapple.
No. Well, yeah, you could. But what you could do is use your magic to find the bracelet. How is there not, like... A magic detect, like there, a
there's,
magic.
There's literally
lost, found.
There's literally an episode in a couple of episodes, if my memory serves, where Sabrina gets someone to find things for her magically.
Well, like just don't use the finder.
Don't use Roland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that guy from that ABC show, The Finder, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
There a show called The Finder?
Probably.
With that guy, that all his shows get canceled.
Thanks for being very helpful.
I think Sammy loved that joke. I know that there was a gator involved. I think he had a pet gator.
That sounds terrible. Anything else to add here, Chris? Or can we move right along?
The finder.
This is going to be a nightmare to edit.
An Iraq war vet suffers a brain injury that triggers the ability to see connections between seemingly unrelated events, objects, or... It sounds like a show Carl said like.
Sounds like garbage.
I think he did like it.
Maybe he did.
Okay. Back to
the show Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
So I think they should have used magic to find it.
I don't disagree with you. I assume maybe like this spell like eliminates the ability to use magic to impede the spell. That's what I figure the explanation would be if anyone actually had to conceive of one. But nobody did. Moving on. At the fashion show, Mr. Poole arrives and tells Nancy that they have to talk, but she tells him to meet her after the show, and when he protests, she shuts him down with the incredible line, "Shush, fashion." Slide to the left.
Again, more relatable shiz.
Yes, we've all used that line. We then see Jenny crawling through the air ducts, and cut to the halls where Sabrina still hasn't found her bracelet. Hilda spots the hunky janitor Stone. And, yes?
It sounded like you said janitor Stone.
Yeah.
And then I like, thought of like Harry Potter.
That's right.
If Harry Potter were a janitor.
That's right. The far less successful Harry Potter book.
I'm sorry. Weird things. Or like if Hogwarts janitor had
Harry Potter and the blue collar profession, yes. Well done. Anyway, Zelda then asks him if she's seen the bracelet, but he just gives us some brooding and mysterious dialogue.
Oh, there's the hunky janitor. He'll help us.
Sir, have you seen a bracelet?
I've seen a lot of things, but no bracelet.
He says he'd like to help, but that he's hunting wasps, and then we see the dangling bracelet right over Sabrina's head. Back at the fashion show, Libby tells Harvey that there's just one more thing he has to remember, that when they get to the end of the runway, he has to give her a smooch. And he agrees because he has eyes. She looks real good in that dress.
So stupid.
You laughed. She then celebrates her total control as we go back to Jenny crawling through the air ducts, only to come across a group of wasps, in turn freaking out and calling for help. Her pleas are heard and answered by the Spellmans and Stone, who, despite claiming to have a ladder and knowing how to use it, opens the air ducts and lets Jenny just crash to the floor, though, thankfully, her curly hair does break her fall. Jenny's fall also brings down Sabrina's bracelet, which she shows the detective, exonerating her name. Stone then tells them that they have to evacuate as there's a swarm headed their way, and we then see the Spellmans running down the halls before Zelda stops them. Sabrina says she can't wait as she has to make Harvey remember, but Zelda says that first she has to look fabulous and zaps her into a very nice, like, champagne ball gown.
Priorities.
Ball gown. I said gowned.
Gowned.
To the fashion show, where Libby and Harvey are announced.
Oh, that was funny.
I said it with a lot of pep in my step. And as they walk down the aisle, they get to the end of the runway and move in for the smooch, but Sabrina stops them. And she tells Libby that her scheme has failed, and now she's, quote, back to reclaim what's rightfully mine. That sweet, sweet ass.
Stop! You can't kiss him. Harvey's my boyfriend.
What are you doing here? I thought I sent you to juvie.
Your little scheme failed. And now I'm back to reclaim what's rightfully mine. Look.
Harvey digs Sabrina. I'm Harvey and I dig Sabrina. That's right. And Roger Clemens signed for the Blue Jays. It's all coming back to me.
Let's go to the fashion show and Nurse Nancy. I'm sure you had something about that. Did you like her line about shush fashion?
Yes. Like I said, I think it's just more relatable shiz.
What other shiz did you like here?
I've got a ladder and I know how to use it when he obviously doesn't.
You've already put one kid in the hospital.
Twice.
Sorry. You put one kid in the Westbridge Infirmary, which is apparently the only thing that Greater Boston area has to a hospital.
Yeah. Which do you think was a bigger flop?
You mean the ladder hitting?
Ladder fails.
I feel like...
Which ladder went roguer?
I feel like, in terms of the indictment of him not knowing how to use a ladder, it's the Harvey one. Because he does climb the ladder appropriately with Jenny. It's just that he opens the vent without being ready to catch her.
Technically, yes.
He doesn't know how to use the ladder. He doesn't know how to stop a woman from falling on her, neck.
But I feel like at the same time, the cockiness of... I've got a ladder and I know how to use it.
Yes. He is an idiot.
Paired with the flop kind of, makes for a bigger fail.
I don't know. Let's compare ball gowns here for a second, Chris. Yours and mine, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Libby has the nicer dress, but as an overall outfit, Sabrina looks better and wins the day.
She's supposed to.
Well, does certainly.
She's the heroine.
That's why she's dressed like Cinderella.
And she's the good one.
Probably.
Well...
She's the less bitchy one.
No, if you're talking trope...
In the soap opera.
If you're talking trope, she's the good one. So she has to be the best looking.
I still think...
She has to have the most current.
I also think that part of the reason Libby has those gloves is because it takes down the dress. If the gloves were just simple, better outfit overall.
I think... No, I don't think that's why. I think normally they wouldn't have dressed a villain so well. Like, I think she was very... well-dressed, but I think it's because they went more classic with her. Sabrina is very much more romantic, more like, I don't know, what you would think of as, in terms of like Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a very...
There's a lot of filigree.
...structured bodice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it looked really nice on her.
No,
and
it did.
I liked the jewelry that they paired with it. Her makeup was a little...
90s.
But it wasn't bad, though. Like, yeah. I feel like earlier in the episode, she had, some blue shadow and, only on the outside, in the outer V. And I was like, girl, no, what?
Yeah, put your V away.
It's the outer V, not the inner V.
Yeah, put the V. Tuck in your V, Sabrina. There's your show title. Oh. Was I the only one that was a little bit offended when Sabrina was like, I've come to reclaim what's rightfully mine? Like, I get it, but it's like, hey, you know what?
Not property.
That's right. Harvey's a person. He doesn't belong to you. Show respect. I've come to show the man that I love that he loves me as well. But if he changed his mind, that's fine, because we both have agency over ourselves.
I think
that's what the line should have been.
Yeah. You know, I applaud your sense of
independence. Stupidity.
I applaud whatever that
man,
was.
Man, you just kept walking in the field and walked away, didn't you?
No, because all the words that I want to use, I'm like, it's not quite that. So I just applaud what you just said.
Thank
but
you.
At Snaps the same throughout. Time, I think it's just like
soap opera,
a genre thing.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily always, I mean, your romantic interest. Sometimes it's like the family business, which your scheming brother has wormed away from you. Like, you're reclaiming what's yours. That is in itself kind of a trope. When the hero finally reclaims what's his.
I got you. Libby tells Sabrina that she ruined everything, and Sabrina retorts that Harvey was never hers, in turn leading to a struggle and a quick dip in the reflecting pool. Eventually, the aunties pull Sabrina away, despite Hilda's fight coaching, and while she is mad that she had Libby and why are you stopping me from killing this bitch, she's happy when Zelda reminds her about the hunk over there who just remembered that he's crazy about her. She then slogs over to him and they embrace while the Drake's store representative tells Libby that she is out of the teen board for conduct not befitting one of Drake's girls.
She's excommunicated.
That's right. No more hotline bling for her.
Excommunicated from the teen board.
Libby then collapses into the pool, creating an enjoyable poof. And enjoyable poof is another possible title for this episode of Sabrina's Witch Trials. Elsewhere at the show, Mr. Pool finally begins to propose to Nancy. But just before he can say the word wife, the detective yells for help, as Stone, Burton, was just attacked by wasps. I do like the way that he says wasps. I think I mentioned this to you. It seemed like he had fucked up saying wasps like three times prior in takes, and he was just really enunciating wasps.
The janitor's just been attacked by a swarm of wasps.
I just had the thought that I feel like Stone Burton needs to have like a catchphrase like, you just got stoned.
And that's set in stone. That sounds, yours is way worse than mine. Anyway.
Shut up. It's good, okay? It's
anyway,
good.
Nancy runs off.
Vote on Twitter.
Please don't. Hashtag set in stone. Nancy runs off yelling for cold compress as Jean says that he'll wait for her. Also, apparently the detective and the Drake's lady are long lost brother and sister. No big deal. Harvey apologizes for ever forgetting Sabrina, but she says she doesn't blame him, only the ladder. The real villain of this episode.
Rogue ladder.
At home later, Sabrina says that tomorrow she just wants everything to be normal, before wondering if Mr. Poole actually got together with Nurse Nancy. Hilda says that of course, adding what could go wrong, and I believe Salem gives us a bum bum bum. That's good. We then go back to the fashion show where Nancy returns tired and makes her, I believe, millionth cold compress joke before Mr. Poole finally proposes. She's touched by this, but wishes that he had only done it earlier, as she's met someone else and is going away forever. As she leaves, he says that she can't go, before realizing that he got further than he expected to, and happily just kind of sidles away.
I would be honored if you would be my wife.
Oh, Jean. If only you'd asked me an hour ago. How can I put this? I've met someone.
Who?
It's better that you don't know. I'm going away, Jean. I only hope you can forgive me.
But wait! You can't! Oh, well, I got a lot further than I thought I would.
We then go to see who Nancy is leaving with. It's Stone! Burton. She tells him that he needs her more, as Jean has both eyes. Stone adds that being stung hundreds of times was worth it, as the scene closes. And as the credits roll, Sabrina and Salem are back to their wind spotting, and she admits that she was wrong about wind spotting, going on a prolonged speech about how it's a metaphor for life, which causes Salem to mockingly tell her that she needs to get out more. Probably true. Thank you. That's where the credits are over and the episode closes. Chris, I do love how when Libby tells the fashion director that Sabrina started it, she's just like, she did not.
Bitch, no.
I was right here. She didn't. Bullshit. Give me your Drake's pin. You're out.
Yeah.
I also like the touch of...
And she threw some holy water on her. Excommunicata!
That's right. Wait for the white smoke while we announce the next Draco.
I don't know if that's how you say excommunicated in Latin.
No, it's really pretty bad and offensive to the Latins.
To the Latins. It's a dead language.
People still speak it. I also like the little touch that Stone was covered in calamine lotion when we see him at the last
Do you put
hallway.
Calamine lotion on stings?
I guess. I don't know.
Is it because it's itchy? So you don't scratch it?
Probably. But yeah. What did you have here, Chris?
I know you kind of just glossed over it, the long lost brother sister thing, but that's just yet another obvious trope.
It certainly is.
All dumb tropes. I actually kind of made a list, but I don't think I got all of them. I feel like we talked about all of them throughout the episode.
Yeah, we're good at podcasting.
Amnesia. Yeah. Like true love, like destined love, whatever.
Ladders.
That whole cyclical relationship thing. Yeah. Wrongfully accused.
Mm-hmm.
The whole like manipulative man stealing vixen is just a popular thing.
Fashion shows.
I don't know that that's a soap opera thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like
it might be.
Maybe. I feel like I can think of soap operas that have had fashion shows. And then the long lost family reunited.
Very good. Chris, that's the episode.
Yeah.
You know what we do here on the Witch Trials. We do it real cool. So tired. We rank each episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch on a very special scale, the TGIF scale, the This Good I Feel scale, a 1 to 5 scale, where each number has a corresponding TGIF show. Mm-hmm. If you have to rank this episode, and you do have to rank this episode of Sabrina Teenage
World.
Witch. All right. Well, I'm just going to get through it, but whatever.
Nope. It's World. It's number
enough.
5.
I totally disagree.
Mambo number 5.
I totally disagree. I have this at a middling hanging with Mr. Cooper. 3
You're
out
wrong.
Of 5.
I don't think you understood the beauty of this episode.
I get it.
I think it was just a very well done parody. I think a lot of the acting was really good. Like, even Sabrina. And you know how I feel about Sabrina most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's true.
I think it was just well done.
I don't really like this episode. I never really have, but I do think this is where you start to see a change in the style of comedy that they do, and I think we get a lot better episodes in the near future. And in terms of quality of joke, I think this is a real fork in the road for the better.
Yeah, I think this is one of the episodes that definitely. It kind of fits, like, it not only is it like a full story, but I feel like it was, there's a definitive theme, like there's a flavor to this episode, you know what I mean? It stands on its own for those aspects, just like some later episodes, they really stick in your mind, because not necessarily because of the, you know, random things that Sabrina does, like, oh well, Sabrina, you know, went on a trip or something. Like, it's the whole, I don't want to say flavor, but like that sort of aspect to the episode that really makes it stand in your mind.
I got you. Chris, we also have the main event here on the Witch Trials, the Back of the Linen Closet Award, our episodic award for each installment's biggest fashion flop. Your recipient this week on the Witch Trials?
I have to go with that polka dot dress. I just really didn't like it. I know you, I'm guessing you're going to pick the velvet.
I am picking that weird velvet short sleeve flower shirt.
I think it didn't stick out to me because it seems so, like, typical. Like, I feel like she wears shirts like that all the time. Mm-hmm. I almost said that shit. Like, she wears that shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not anything new in my mind. Where's that stupid polka dots? It almost seems like something Hilda would wear. Like, Hilda's kind of always wearing, like, funky shit like that. Or, like, it fits her personality. But yeah. It doesn't suit Sabrina. Fair enough. You think you are.
I am not putting in that Spice Girl song.
No, that wasn't.
I see the games you're playing.
Lead-in,
so. Chris, yeah. Thanks for being here.
No problem. I hope you, as annoying as it was, I hope you grew to understand a bit more why I...
No.
I really love this episode.
I can tell.
There was a point where I was watching it where I literally wrote down, oh my God, I fucking love this so much.
Luckily, you have a direct link via Dailymotion, which is what I send all my guests. Okay. But thanks for being here once again.
But I hope you guys enjoyed it too.
And listeners, you can interact with Chris on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Conkers, and you can read all the things she writes about fashion, all of the reviews about makeup and romance novels.
Do you remember what I write?
Sure, I do. Over at chrisconkers.com, the media maven's home on the web. Shut up. You can also follow this podcast, Sabrina's Witch Trials, on Facebook, facebook.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials, Instagram, instagram.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials, and on Twitter at Sabrina Podcast. You can also listen to us where you are, but also on the iTunes store, the TuneIn,
the TuneIn,
definite article, the TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the Google Play podcast section, and wherever better podcasts are curated. I also do want to thank Lorraine Rosenberg, maybe the patron saint of this podcast, of this podcast at least, for her review of Sabrina's Witch Trials. And I will again repeat that anytime anyone reviews Sabrina's Witch Trials, send me a screen grab and I'll thank you on the podcast, because I like to have reviews. They're nice. So thank you for that. Episode number 22 is next, and it will be an okay one. I think I haven't watched this one in a while, but I do have some very fond memories of it. The Great Mistake. Billy Corgan is involved, so it can be good but not great, like the Smashing Pumpkins. I don't care if you're a fan of them. They're not that great. But until then, I'm going to say thank you for listening one last time from everyone at Sabrina's Witch Trials, mostly me.
Mostly Chris.
Chris is here a lot, too. Phil's here sometimes, more than he would probably like to be. But thank you again, and we will see you in the other realm.
Did you know FDR had 3 vice presidents? John Nance Garner, Henry Wallace, and Harry Truman. Well, that's all.